Okay, so we're taking a look at the pros and cons of animal testing. Again, the pros are saying this is a good thing, we need to continue it. The cons are saying we need to discontinue animal testing. All right, where do we start? Do we start with the cons first or the pros first? Flip a coin. All right, I am literally going to flip a coin. I'm going to let it fall on the floor. Heads is pros, tails is cons, and tails. All right, so we start with the con. This is the first con. And they're saying that animal testing is cruel and inhumane. Okay, now that's interesting. Inhumane. We're talking about animals. Okay, anyway, here we go. According to Humane Society International, animals used in experiments are commonly subjected to forced feeding, forced inhalation, food and water deprivation, prolonged periods of physical restraint, the infliction of burns and other wounds to study the healing process, the infliction of pain to study its effects and remedies, and killing by carbon dioxide asphyxiation, neck breaking, decapitation, or other means. Phew, okay, that's rough. The Dreyer's eye test, used by cosmetics companies to evaluate irritation caused by shampoos and other products, involves rabbits being incapacitated in stocks with their eyelids held open by clips, sometimes for multiple days, so they cannot blink away the products being tested. The commonly used LD50 or lethal dose 50 test involves finding out which dose of a chemical will kill 50% of the animals being used in the experiment. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reported in 2016 that 71,370 animals suffered pain during experiments while being given no anesthesia for relief, including 1,272 non-human primates, 5,771 rabbits, 24,566 guinea pigs, and 33,280 hamsters. Now that's heavy duty. And so I'm going to have to switch over to the pros now. That was hard. Okay, so we got to hear it now. We have to hear it. But let's do the alternating this time. Here we go. A pro, contending that animal testing has contributed to many life-saving cures and treatments. The California Biomedical Research Association states that nearly every medical breakthrough in the last 100 years has resulted directly from research using animals. Experiments in which dogs had their pancreases removed led directly to the discovery of insulin, critical to saving the lives of diabetics. The polio vaccine, tested on animals, reduced the global occurrence of the disease from 350,000 cases in 1988 to 27 cases in 2016. And again, they said that's on the global level. Animal research has also contributed to major advances in understanding and treating conditions such as breast cancer, brain injury, childhood leukemia, cystic fibrosis, malaria, multiple sclerosis, tuberculosis, and many others, and was instrumental in the development of pacemakers, cardiac valve substitutes, and anesthetics. Chris Abey, who's director of the University of Texas, he's a physician there at the Anderson Cancer Center's Animal Research Facility, states that we wouldn't have a vaccine for hepatitis B without chimpanzees, and says that the use of chimps is our best hope for finding a vaccine for hepatitis C, which is a disease that kills thousands of Americans annually. If thalidomide had been properly tested on pregnant animals, its potential for causing severe birth defects would have been discovered before the drug became legal for human use. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think? For you, does this come down to an issue of what's better to potentially or definitely harm animals if it means improving the health status of humans, or do not significantly improve the health status of human beings so that we can avoid causing pain for animals? That's largely what it comes down to. What are your thoughts about that? Now, I've given the experts another idea, another way of doing this, and I'm going to mention this over and over and over again. A simulated human being, I mean, think about it now. They're doing their best to make these robotic humans, these humanoids, these robots in the form of humans, as human as possible. They're making them so that they can have sexual intercourse with humans, with real humans. They're making them so that they can think. In fact, they want to make them so that they can outthink real humans. And on and on. Is there a way to make a synthetic human which can be accurately used to help test medicines and other devices to see how they would impact humans, the real Homo sapiens? Okay. Where do you want me to go now? Another pro, or you want me to switch on over to the con? Let's go ahead and switch over to the con, because this can be kind of heavy duty, and I want to be fair. So if we're going to do two pros at a time, I'm going to want to do two cons at a time also. So I think I'll just do the flipping this time, swapping back and forth. Here's our second con. The people there are saying that alternative testing methods now exist that can replace the need for animals. In vitro testing, and they're saying that by that they're meaning in glass testing, such as studying cell cultures in a petri dish, can produce more relevant results than animal testing because human cells can be used. Ooh, how does that sound? Microdosing, which is the administering of doses too small to cause adverse reactions, can be used in human volunteers whose blood is then analyzed. Artificial human skin, such as the commercially available products Epiderm and Thinsert, is made from sheets of human skin cells grown in test tubes or plastic wells and can produce more useful results than testing chemicals on animal skin. Microfluidic chips, which are basically organs on a chip, which are lined with human cells and recreate the functions of human organs, are in advanced stages of development. Computer models, such as virtual reconstructions of human molecular structures, can predict the toxicity of substances without invasive experiments on animals. That's what I've been talking about. That's what I was just talking about. Computer models, such as virtual reconstructions of human molecular structures, can predict the toxicity of substances without invasive experiments on animals. Now, I do have something I want to say about that. But as most of you know, who have been listening for a while, you know that deliberately, by design, I usually make very little comment to the positions that people take with regards to these pros and these cons. And that's because I really prefer that you hear the two sides and just weigh them on your own. Come to a conclusion as to what your final position is. Or even if that means just saying, you know what, I've heard what both sides have to say, but I'm still going to have to think about this some more. I can dig it. All right, so when we come back, we go to our second pro with regards to animal testing. Should we continue it or discontinue it?